Little Hand says it's time to rock and roll.
Bring the noise.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Welcome to Earth.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Bomb. James Bond.
Pop quiz, hot shot.
Your move, creep.
Get off my plane.
Get your ass off.
I feel mean.
Let me see if we cut the Kit Kat a-hole.
Hey, motherfucker.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Everything Action Cast for the week of September 3rd, 2012. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us this week we have Chris.
Howdy.
And Joe.
Howdy, Cheerins.
All right, so we got a ton of stuff to get to, so I'm going to get right into the show with news like we usually do. And I'll kick it off with some trailers that came out. Probably the quote-unquote biggest trailer that came out was the trailer for Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, which has been delayed for at least a year, possibly two, finally coming out in January of next year, starring Jeremy Renner and Gemma Arterton as the fairy tale siblings who are, like, now, after they survive their initial encounter with a witch, when they're kids, they become, like, now they're, like, badass bounty hunters going around and murdering other witches for people. With
Hansel and Gretel is an amazing story about child neglect that turns awesome.
Because they somehow managed to build badass weapons, like Gatling guns and shotguns and like whatever 15th century this is.
I don't know, you're like you're being orphaned by your parents. You just kind of learn to be like a badass. Mm-hmm. It's the precursor to Batman.
You shove a witch into an oven and cook her alive.
And suddenly
like,
you're just like,
you're like we're pretty good that,
make a career out of this.
We're pretty good at this. We should probably do this for a living. Let's go train in the woods for 15 years.
That's the formula.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so definitely I get a very strong Van Helsing vibe just because like the crazy weaponry and it's, I think, like, I don't know if it's trying to be serious or not, or if it's trying to be wacky, or if it know, like if it knows it's stupid, or if it thinks it's awesome.
I think based on the soundtrack, it tries to take itself a little too serious.
Yeah,
but
it seems like, Jeremy Renner's taking it too serious too.
Well, he's like Hollywood's golden boy right now. He could be in anything.
Yeah,
and it will just make some money.
He's the new action hero, like star. Like, he's taking over every action franchise and other ones.
He's injecting life into franchises.
Yeah. Mission Impossible, Bourne.
Other Marvel movies.
Yeah, the upcoming the Hawkeye spinoff, they'll eventually probably happen.
It's called Hawkeye, the one part where he's not possessed.
Mm-hmm. Hawkeye and Black Widow.
I definitely got like a Brothers Grimm vibe,
yeah, definitely,
especially
yeah.
when you see like the sets are like leftover set pieces yeah. from it, and it's then like even
woods.
Actors are just like they're like German woods, like screaming women in like dirty dresses.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? At least it doesn't look like Red Riding Hood.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like Red Riding Hood looks like a very artsy form of like a fairy tale, but it took itself way too serious.
How can we make Red Riding Hood into Twilight?
Let's bribe Gary Oldman to yes. act up some scenes.
Yeah. How much will it take for Gary Oldman to be in this movie for 5 minutes? I should mention that the director of Hansel and Gretel is the guy who directed Dead Snow, which is the Nazi, like the... I think was it Sweden?
Which is one of the most badass horror movies of the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's hilarious and awesome.
One of the most amazing like 10 minutes of a movie. You're just like, what happened?
The last 10 minutes were just like they've somehow got like a minigun on a snowmobile.
Yeah.
And like it wasn't Zombie Hitler, but it's like zombie like Nazi general shows up. So hopefully with that guy directing, it will have like a good sense of humor about it.
I was hoping.
Mm-hmm.
We can only hope.
Yeah, so they revamped it actually this year to make it an R rating, which probably means just like tons of digital blood. And so it's coming out in January of next year. Which isn't exactly the best time for movies.
Anything. Yeah.
But also, trailer-wise, last week, we got the trailer for 247 Degrees, which is an upcoming people trapped in a small space thriller that we're getting a bunch of. We're actually getting like a...
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it a thriller, but it's certainly a movie about people in an enclosed space.
We're getting a ton of those lately, like Buried and ATM and 127.
There's going to be one called, like, Bathroom Stall, where it's like a guy's like, is there... Hello? Hello?
Freezer!
I can't get out!
Locker.
Oh, man.
So anyway, so 247 Degrees, there's like a group of friends go to this lakeside cabin that's one of their uncle's, I guess, and there happens to be a sauna in there. So they go and hang out in the sauna, but then they get locked in, and then the temperature is rising, so they have to like figure out a way to get out of the sauna before they boil to death or something. Because I guess 247 degrees is like the temperature which you die, I guess.
Yeah, but it's not a very, like, I hate to bring science into the conversation, but it's not a very, like, fulfilling movie death. Because literally, like, you just faint, and then your body shuts down, like, organ by organ.
Yeah.
Which is kind of horrible, but the thing is, you pass out. It really doesn't make for great drama, you know?
You probably pass out, like, 100 degrees before that, too. Like, if it gets to, like, 120 degrees, you'd be like...
Yeah, you would certainly faint or pass out from exhaustion and dehydration and all that good stuff before you die. I mean, you'd basically die in your sleep. Like, you'd be very uncomfortable, and I'm sure it would be very hot. Like, you'd have bad burns from, like, the floor and all that crap, but, like, that's a pretty, you know, it's a bitch way to go out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think, like, the uncle is, like locks them in there because he's evil or something.
You damn kids.
The Sabretooth locks them in the sauna.
Unky Sabretooth, why?
Or just, like, a poorly maintained sauna that just, like, locks in. Like a walk-in freezer. Like
derp-de-derp.
You gotta jiggle the handle.
Yeah.
Pull it up to the right, and then fast down, and it should open up.
Or even better, like, the whole premise of this movie is about, like, one of the guys is like, I'm gonna get me some sex. And, like, he's like, I'm gonna try to get, like, a threesome with these girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, except there's only one girl in there at first.
No, there's
another guy in there, too.
Well, whatever, he was like, because they showed that one clip where it's, like, just the girl in there with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and he's like, yeah, it's gonna get really hot in here.
You guys got room for one more?
Yeah, like, at the point where if I'm the girl, I'd be like, okay, this is screaming rape, like, right in my face. So I'm going to go and get, like, an iced tea or something.
You're, like, vaporizing roofies into the sauna.
Pretty much. It's like, hey, would you like some roofie gazpacho? Like, excuse me? I said gazpacho?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love gazpacho. Nom nom nom. Roofie.
Which is actually just tomato soup now because it's so hot in here.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
So that one's coming out later this year. I think it's actually coming out in October on DVD and Blu-ray.
October 25th on DVD and Blu-ray.
Just in time for Halloween.
Yeah, just in time for me to not find it.
Well, you'll probably be too busy watching A Christmas Story 2.
That's true.
It comes out Halloween week as well.
Which is an awesome... awesome time to release A Christmas Story too.
Yes. The horror.
What are people thinking? Good God.
Last trailer I was mentioning is the trailer for The Iceman, which...
The Ice Age.
Yeah, unfortunately not... Sorry, not Schwarzenegger, it's Mr. Freeze. The Iceman is not coming. It's also not about Chuck Liddell. There's already a documentary, there's already, like, a UFC special about them.
All right, well, strike one and strike two.
It's actually about the real-life mafia hitman, Robert Kulkinski, aka the Iceman, who murdered people. Like, I think there's some reports saying he murdered over 100 people between 1961 and 1983, or 86 when he finally got caught.
Seems reasonable.
So Michael Shannon is going to be playing him, and it's basically going to follow his entire career from, like, the 60s to the 80s. So lots of, like, hairstyle changes, clothing changes, car changes, and lots of him murdering people.
Yeah. Well, I love Michael Shannon, so that's great news. That guy's a...
Yeah,
he's an intense dude.
He looks amazing in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's also got a pretty awesome, like, supporting cast. You got, actually, weirdly, Ray Liotta, who's going to be in this and Killing Them Softly, period Brad Pitt mafia movie.
That Ray Liotta just makes any movie, it just gives it, like, instant, like, crime credibility.
It's like, vaguely 80s mafia related, he's in it.
Yeah, love Ray Liotta.
And then Chris Evans is I think he's...
The Norse God of Thunder.
No, Chris Evans is actually Captain America, Joe.
The Norse God of Thunder.
No, he's going to be fighting Russians later this year, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, Chris Evans stars is like, I think like sort of like his, like... it's actually Richard Kulkinski too. Just, I'm looking at her. So, but he basically, like, helped him out. I think the character that Chris Evans is playing, he's, like, sort of, like, helped him figure out, like, he can put bodies in the freezer to, like, disguise what time of death they had.
Yeah.
And then,
Is he gonna say flame on?
If I say something...
Hey, Iceman, flame on!
Or, like, chill.
Ice, cold.
Ice, like, to see you.
Thumbs up, soldier.
And then Winona Ryder, Stephen Dorff, and James Franco. James Franco, who's actually supposed to be the Chris Evans role, but then he left, and then he came back to do this smaller role, which is kind of weird. But
Jesus Christ, James Franco. What? Who lets an actor do that? He's like, fuck this movie. Leaves, and he's like, hey, guys.
Turns out I could,
Turns out I'm all out of pot. What do you say we do to fix this situation, boys?
We already got Captain America to replace you, man, so.
You guys.
I was in Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
I have range. I was trapped in a canyon.
I cut my arm off. That was based on real life.
That movie was basically a monologue.
So anyway, Iceman doesn't have a U.S. release date yet, but hopefully it'll come out sometime soon, because it looks pretty awesome.
Quite.
So, moving on to sad news from earlier this week. I don't know what is going on these past couple weeks, but... So, we found out Monday that Michael Clark Duncan passed away. I guess he was in the hospital after having a heart attack in, like...
Correct.
June or July, and then mm-hmm. I guess just never recovered from it.
Yeah, really, really, really sad.
Mm-hmm.
By all accounts, a truly awesome dude.
Yeah, he seemed just like the coolest person. Like all interviews. And
absolutely,
stuff.
It was always awesome, especially in like the, or not recently for whatever reason, but like when the UFC was really blowing up, like in the mid-2000s. Like, the two big people in the crowd, well, literally and figuratively, the two big people to show that were always in the crowds would be Shaquille O'Neal and Michael Clark Duncan, because it usually involved one of them, or both of them, like, wrapping their hands around a fighter's throat or something. Just being like, oh, look at how large we are. But, yeah, he'll always be the kingpin. It's not about Green Mile, it's not about Planet of the Apes, it's about... Because so far, there's been only one, mm-hmm. and it's him.
It's weird to think, like, you know, Mark Clark Duncan, the Black Kingpin.
But it worked so well, dude. Like, I think he was one of the better parts of that movie, to be honest with you. Because I totally believe that he was a guy who fixed fights, and was like a small-time gangster, worked his way up, and basically, you know, like the Spider-Man animated series Kingpin wouldn't have fit that movie.
No.
Right.
It's because Daredevil is kind of like feeble in that movie, you know what I mean? So I don't think he could have had like Smythe and like an army of like cybernetic like killing machines and stuff like that, because Daredevil would have been fucking killed in the first 10 minutes of the movie. But having someone who's just so like, you know, physically imposing, but then rich and smart and like, I guess he's paid out the right people, just like a true gangster in every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool interpretation and really awesome job. Definitely going to be missed.
Mm-hmm. And then you already mentioned, but I think most people would say, like, his biggest role was Green Mile.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, wait, and that was probably his you know, his best role, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, certainly his best, you know, performance as an actor. But, you know, I'm just saying, like, my sentimentality for him definitely lies in the Kingpin. Because, again, he's one of the most memorable aspects of that movie. And, you know, not just because it was like, oh, yeah, it was the Black Kingpin. It's like, well, yeah, it was the Black Kingpin who actually wound up to be a more interesting and better interpretation than some of the other incarnations of the Kingpin throughout the years.
Mm-hmm. Also, there's also, like, Armageddon. He's pretty awesome. It was, like,
sure.
Hilarious
sure.
in that movie.
For sure.
Scorpion King. I thought he was
pretty awesome. Yeah, I was gonna say that.
Just, like, the only, like, one of the only people who could, like, believably, like, take on The Rock. And like a one-on-one fight.
No question about it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Planet of the Apes, the Tim Burton one.
Talladega Nights?
Oh, Talladega, yeah.
Yeah, oh, of course.
One of the most quoted lines is his, where just like, don't you put that evil on me, Rick and Bobby. Don't you put that evil on me.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was, he could be like, most like Green Mile be like the most serious person ever, and then like Talladega Nights just like super like wacky crazy.
Yeah, but you know what else I loved about him too? Just to like listen to the movies that we're naming. You know, like someone who was in the Green Mile didn't have to be in Talladega Nights.
Yeah,
they like, didn't have to be the fucking Kingpin. Like, that's a big deal that he was like not. All pretentious because of the fact that he was, you know, an Oscar winner. You know, it's just cool because he really seemed to do parts that, like, interested him. You know, like, it didn't really look like he was following the traditional, like, okay, do, like, an Oscar darling and do, like, finance a documentary and then adopt, like, you know,
yeah.
a starving child, like... I just always respected that about him. Like, because after Green Mile, like, he sort of dropped out of, I guess, the, like, you know, public sort of film eye, you know? It wasn't like Russell Crowe where it's like, hey, I did pretty good at that one movie. I'm going to keep trying. And then you get the next 3 days.
Yeah.
So.
So he's also done, like Sin City also.
Oh, fuck it. How did I forget about that?
The Island, he was in that for like a couple minutes.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was like
He was a giant black guy.
Yeah, Ewan McGregor like breaks into like the operating room or whatever, and like he like Michael Carter just like bursts out of there like running and they tase him and like drag him back to like cut out his heart or whatever to give to like his actual the guy who bought him.
It's seriously one of the best and probably one of the most expensive cameos in like the last 20 years of cinema.
I mean, ton of video game voiceover stuff, too.
It's a really iconic voice, too.
Oh, yeah, super iconic voice. Actually, speaking of that, some of my favorite things he's done is Family Guy, just, like, doing a crazy, like, he was, like, the stork. And, like, Fozzie Bear. Waka Waka wants to hear a funny-ass joke. he was Atlas in God of War.
Yep. And, you know, whether he had, you know, whether he was an everything action favorite or not, whether he was, you know, famous for the Green Mile or not, like, whatever, like, at the end of the day, 54 is just too young to die.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, that's sad in and of itself, but fuck, like, what a cool guy to lose, man.
Mm-hmm. It's like Tony Scott, Michael Clark Duncan, like, what, who's next?
I shudder to think who's next. I just want to, like, make sure that Robert Downey Jr. is, like, you know, in a bubble somewhere, you know, that he's, like, totally accounted for and everything's okay, because I feel like we're kind of, I don't know, like, that's the direction we're headed in.
Yep, so, R.I.P. McClure Duncan.
Sir, gone but not forgotten.
Moving on to other news from the past week. So we talked last week about the Beverly Hills Cop TV show that Eddie Murphy and Sean Ryan of The Shield and Terriers and a bunch of other shows is trying to put together. And then I believe we joked that it was probably going to be on CBS. Well, it's going to be on CBS.
What do you mean we joked? Shit, we know stuff about the industry.
You prophesied that it was going to be on CBS, and it happened.
We know how shit works.
Or we jinxed it, or we willed it to existence.
We
probably put out so much negative nerd rage that someone was like, some executive was tossing and turning, like, I know, CBS, I woke up
screaming. We used the secret to get it.
Yes, we did.
So, yeah, so it's going to be coming to CBS. The basic premise is that it's going to be Axel Foley's son now running around, and Axel Foley's going to be, like, the chief of police. I don't know if Eddie Murphy's actually going to be on the show.
No.
It's just going to be, like...
Spoiler.
No. Maybe he'll be on, like, the first episode and get killed or something. That'll be, like, the whole plot, the premise of the first season is, like, who killed my dad?
Yeah.
I gotta put a banana in his tailpipe. You think they get Judge Reinhold to be on the show?
No, spoiler, no.
Why not? He's not doing anything.
Because the rule is that it's going to have none of the charm or redeemable qualities of the movie series that we all know and love.
Mm-hmm.
There might be a black man in it.
Ooh, exotic.
Hopefully it'll be as ridiculous as like CSI or Hawaii 5-0.
Don't you say it.
Maybe Hawaii 5-0, that kind of, like, weird, like, there's just a lot of intense drama. And there's just, like, awkward comedy.
Well, Hawaii 5-0 just has, like, the most, like, insane plots ever. Like, there's a triathlon in town, and the triathletes are actually diamond thieves.
Diamonds?
And they break off from the race to steal diamonds while no one's looking, because everyone's watching the race.
Oh, I remember like, the last season, Hawaii 5-0 got really political about, like, Navy people killing each other and stuff.
Not really.
Well, there was, like, Navy investigations and, like, special...
Well, that's how it started from, like, the first season. And the first season was, like, 6 seasons long. So, for, like, the first few episodes, like, oh, this person was also in the Navy. Navy.
Yeah.
Navy. And I was just kind of like, yeah, this is a dirty Samoan. He needs your help. Oh, okay. It got really weird.
Mm-hmm. Hawaii is the hotspot for all terrorist activity.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, so that's going to be coming probably next season to CBS. Probably when shows to come out this season are getting canceled, like Elementary.
Man,
we already have Sherlock.
I know, it's so much better.
Yeah. And also, Vegas is coming out too.
Wait, what?
It's like 60s Vegas, and like Dennis Quaid is like a Western sheriff, and he has to like take on Michael Chiklis as like who's like this gangster.
It's a movie or is it a show?
It's a show.
How the hell is it starting all that long for a plot?
I don't know. It's like Old West meets New West.
Meets a sheriff who can't, like, solve crime properly.
Was going to use his, like, Western whoop-ass skills to take on these criminals. He's riding a horse and stuff. Where's a cowboy hat?
Oh, you mean, like, before you need, like, a warrant to do...
Cowboy!
That has to be the theme song. Or else just like whatever Who song is that left after all the CSIs took on them.
God.
So moving on to other news. So apparently, Metal Gear Solid is going to be getting a movie, or it's like there's been a movie I think in the works for since the first one came out, but apparently, there's a new effort is getting set in motion to get a new like a Metal Gear Solid movie made.
Right. I hope it happens.
According to Hideo Kojima, who like talked at I think Tokyo Game Show or some other show, Gamescom, I don't know. Not at PAX.
Yeah, I think it was.
It wasn't at PAX, I don't think, because it came out like a
week. It was at PAX, too.
It probably was at PAX, too. I think it's.
Well, whatever it was, they hijacked that Friday. They were like, yeah, fuck this. It's Metal Gear Day. And everyone was like, oh, okay. Like, we have decided that it's Metal Gear's 25th anniversary. Mm-hmm. It's like, wait, what? No, it's not. It's Metal Gear's 25th anniversary today. Okay. So.
We thought of.
Yeah, man.
We wrote down the idea on a napkin this day, 25 years ago, so.
Yeah. So, unofficially, officially.
Yeah.
But, oh, good lord, what a awesome idea, what awesome potential there is for this to be a bona fide kick-ass movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a dangerous situation.
I've seen parts of it in other movies, like The Rock.
Yeah.
And, Die Hard.
Yeah. For sure, for sure.
Actually, Mega Sire like already took like borrowed from movies heavily. Like I don't like the original the original box art was like Michael Biehn.
Yeah, I kind of like the whole internet rah 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 that's behind David Hayter. Them wanting him to sneak.
Play Snake, yeah.
I think it'll never happen, no. But it would be so fair.
Yes.
Really, man. Like, the guy wrote a goddamn script for a Metal Gear movie. Like, he's a fan. He wants it to happen.
Well, that'd be like, oh, God. Oh, like, Nolan North playing Nathan Drake.
Oh, yeah, true.
Like, it'd be awesome, but it would never happen.
Well, whoever it is, I'd kind of like them to, like, dub them over, like, with David Hayter, you know? I mean, it could be done. Come on.
You know, in a few years, we can make up David Hayter to be old Snake. Like, Naked Snake.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. He could even maybe be Naked Snake in flashbacks or something. I don't know. That'd be a cool little cameo.
I wouldn't mind that. I mean, David Hayter used to be an actor. Not too many people have seen Guyver 2, the Guyverer.
Oh, I've seen it, where they're drinking Bud Dry, the beer of the early 90s.
The future of beer.
How the hell did we watch that, Joe? Did we, like, discover that on Monster HD, or did we actually, like, find a copy?
Nope, it wasn't on Monsters HD. Rest in peace, old friend. You're loved and missed. It was on one of the random-ass movie channels. I think it was, like, TMC or, like, Showtime Extreme. Not Showtime Extreme, like, Showtime, like, 7. The point is, it was on, like, one of those subscription-based movie channels.
Yeah, so that's like the last time I saw that. That was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, man, it was just randomly on. I was like, seriously? Like, I was just looking through horror movies, because like, that's what I usually do like when I'm on a vacation or something. Or like, if I'm really bored and I'm just flipping through channels, I'll scroll by genre, and I'll just like look through horror for the week and just see what's on. And it was like The Guyver 2, and I was like, wait, no, this is not real, and it was real as shit. So
did the first one, wasn't the first one have like Mark Hamill in it or something, or was that some other movie?
Oh, it sure
Mark Hamill was a detective who became a grasshopper.
Did those movies have like a psychic dog in them?
No, that's VR Troopers.
No, there. Oh, what the hell was the name of the? There's like, at least two or three of those movies I saw on Sci-Fi one afternoon. It was like Mark Hamill, and there's like these like animals that get super smart, and like there's like a dog, and there's like he's telepathically linked to like this like giant like abominable snowman.
Nope.
It's like it was like a two in the afternoon Sci-Fi channel movie.
Oh, I believe you. I'm just saying I haven't seen it.
Okay. Let's see what it is here quick. I need to know what this movie was called.
But yeah, man, that Guyver 2 is a shit show. Like, no question about it.
But it's only worth it to watch David Hayter.
Oh, there's literally no redeeming. I mean, it looks like a ghetto Ultraman is fighting like archaeological like gangsters. Like, you know they're soft when they're like gangster archaeologist aliens. You know, it's just like, oh man, can you pick like one of those things? Like, because at least in Tomb Raider, for instance, it's a real like archaeologist who's like a bad dude who's got like his own mercenary forces. Like, that's kind of intimidating, you know, to a degree. Like, it's not, I guess, as intimidating as like raptors with shotguns, but it's up there. And man, it just flies off the handle quick. The best is like the last 15 minutes of that movie, where it's just like a practical effects sort of like just sideshow happening when they're on like the ship and crazy.
You still searching, Zach? What'd you Google?
This moment like, of violence is
sci-fi channel
nothing.
Monster
I'm on, I
have no movie dog. Like,
I'm
broad in your search.
Well, I found the Guyver one on his Mark Hamill's IMDb page.
No, that's not too hard to find. That's like post anything Mark Hamill, like pre Batman the Animated Series. So it's like he wasn't doing anything for those years. Like Wing Commander.
Yep.
This movie, Batman the Animated Series.
Oh, yeah, okay, so it was Watchers Reborn is the name of that movie.
Oh my god, oh, I know that.
Yeah, there's like a golden retriever, just like a psychic golden retriever.
Oh no.
And there's like a giant monster that's murdering people, but he's somehow telepathically linked to the golden retriever, and they're both like lab experiments.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know why you're saying the title just, like, incepted that movie back into my head, but oh, God.
And then Mark Hamill was, like, a detective or something, and he, like, took in the Golden Retriever.
God. Questionable stuff.
Yeah. Thanks, Sci-Fi Channel. So, anyway, so Metal Gear Solid. So, that movie, apparently they're working on that. Hopefully they'll eventually see the light of day and be awesome. And then, moving on to other news, so Kick-Ass 2 is coming out pretty soon. They're working on it right now. And they announced this week that Jim Carrey got cast as the Colonel, who is a sort of another superhero that teams up with Hit-Girl and Kick-Ass.
I really hope they stick it to, like, this comic. Like, did you read Kick-Ass 2?
I haven't read Kick-Ass 2 yet.
Okay, it's pretty badass if they can pull it off. And it's like, it's so, it goes against the norms of traditional comic books. That even the first Kick-Ass was like that. Like, I know John Romero was writing it as in, like, what if Spider-Man wasn't, like, good at what he was at? And then this is, like, later years. But he's still not good at it. You know, like, he's still, like, a superhero that's just fumbling along.
I don't,
and not in a comical way, just like a very unfortunate way. So, the sequel, like it's everything you would wish for like a decent movie you saw or something you saw, and then you want to see like the follow up. Like it's definitely not like a cop out. Like there's no formula to the sequel.
And Red Mist is the bad guy, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's back. He's grown up. He's learned like the trick of the trade of like running the mob.
Mm-hmm.
And Hit-Girl's like. She's 14. You know, she's not too old. So, it still keeps that, like, you know, innocent thing about her. And she's actually, like, way more badass in the sequel.
She's had, like, what, 4 more years of killing people under her belt?
No, it's, like, all the repressed, like, trying to be nice and not kill has made her, like, more psychotic when she puts on the costume. You know, think about this. In every great, like, persona, like, you know, second persona thing, like Dexter.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if they can't, like,
indulge into the, like their weaknesses and until they're like their, you know, their escapes, it just builds up. And for Hit Girl, if she's not like solving crimes or like, you know, killing people, she's just like is waiting for it. So when she puts on the costume, she just goes nuts. So it's a really great like evolution of story. So excited.
But I'm definitely excited for the movie,
but like Jim Carrey, his character is gonna be like, it's gonna be awesome to see, but it's gonna be kinda weird because
is he like the equivalent of Nicolas Cage or like McDaddy in the
He's trying to be Captain America, where he assembles a bunch of like Avenger type people. But these are just like, you know, everyday people who just like
they're like the mystery men or something.
Yeah, they're more like the mystery men more than like a capable team of superheroes. And then like they all have day jobs and shit. Like it's pretty hilarious how like they don't know each other from outside of like their secret club. But I don't think they can cover everything in one movie because it's they could, but it'd be like rushed, you know. It's like trying to condense the first two seasons of Walking Dead into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can highlight certain points, but you'll really miss out on the development between characters.
Right. Yeah, I'm probably going to read it at some point before the movie comes out.
Yep. Definitely grab it if you could.
Mm-hmm. So last bit of news before we get into the newest roundup for the week is there's some streaming news that's going around. So, first up, Troma, which we're all big fans of, right? Guys, Troma films.
Of course, man.
Yeah,
fucking
Troma.
Yeah. So you can watch over 100 Troma films for free in full on YouTube now.
Are you fucking kidding?
I would say pretty much everything except the Taxi Avenger movies,
which are on Netflix anyway.
Yeah.
So,
but everything else is
they're easy to find.
So it's I think it's
damn
YouTube.com/Troma movies, and you just sit there and watch them all if you want. Like Poltergeist and Cannibal Musical and a bunch of other like all, pretty much every other
Man.
Movie that they made.
Yeah, some of those movies are fucking great.
Mm-hmm. And they have some of the best titles ever for movies.
Oh, for Poltergeist? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Tromeo and Juliet. Killer Condoms.
I think all the Class of Nukem High movies are on there as well.
Class of Nukem High 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Surf Nazis Must Die.
Kabuki Man.
Oh, Kabuki Man. Those are incredible. The best was there was one trailer for Troma as like a company that was on the Toxic Avenger 2 DVD. I don't remember which one it was, but it was one of the actual like DVDs. And in lieu of like a movie preview, it was just this ass-kicking montage of over-the-top just retardation from all these different Troma movies set to the song Deaf Forever by Motorhead. It was just fucking brutal. Like, it was seriously one of the best things ever caught, like, ever edited into like a 2-some-odd-minute clip. Really, really great. Like, when that was over, I was like, well, I have something special in my DVD player. I remember when I was in college, I actually looked into getting an internship with Troma, except they have a warning on their intern page. That's like, you will probably hate your life. Like, they gave a rundown of all these really awful examples of things that they've made, like, interns do. Like, if you are object to, like, getting like, human fecal matter on you, like, you probably don't want this internship. And I was like, I hope they're kidding. But I pushed out.
Are you allergic to fake blood?
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Are you opposed to eating raw meat?
Yeah.
How well can you keep a secret?
Yeah, pretty much. How well can you choke back your own vomit?
So, yeah, so all pretty much all those movies are on YouTube, so definitely go check those out if you haven't seen any of those in a while or ever. And also, streaming news, Amazon just signed a big deal with Epix. Yeah. Which, so Netflix had a deal with Epix, but it's going to be, I guess, expired, or it's going to be expiring pretty soon.
Very soon, yeah. Yes.
Which, I mean, so Epix brought, like, things like Iron Man 2, Transformers Dark of the Moon, Thor, Rango, Kick-Ass, Paranormal Activity 2, True Grit, Lincoln Lawyer, Hunger Games, Avengers.
Did we say Captain America?
Captain America, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so those are all for streaming on Netflix. So the deal's going to expire. So they're going to be for probably streaming on Amazon, and also you can rent them and or purchase them as well on Amazon's Instant Video.
Cool.
And then they're going to have future Epix releases only on Amazon. I think this deal actually blew up Netflix's like stock prices, because stock prices for Netflix went downhill after they announced this.
Yeah.
Which that was like along with like Stars, like that was the big like that was like Netflix's big like new releases way like getting way of getting like new movies onto their streaming.
Yeah, I
So who knows who knows what Netflix is gonna have now.
I don't know. It's not going to be HBO, that's for sure, because a few months ago, one of the Netflix dudes was like saying, oh yeah, we totally open the door to working with HBO in the future, and then HBO was like, well, we don't.
Like, you can't afford
go fuck yourself, Netflix. Like, have you seen HBO Go? Like,
people pay for that shit.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, and I might as well hope that we can, have a similar effect to the Beverly Hills Cop on CBS thing. Let's just give it another try here. Can you please bring HBO Go to PlayStation 3?
All right, everyone. Yep, just
please.
Positive thinking will it into existence.
Everyone at the same time, just
the secret.
So, yeah,
I'll show you Mr. Rice's secret.
So we're reporting on the Netflix HBO merger next week.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh man, because I have to say, like the PS3's apps are just laughable. Like they just added a YouTube app after like years of having like the most awful goddamn YouTube interface in history, and now this one is maybe like a 4 out of 10 instead of a 3 out of 10.
Reminds me of like it's like Bing. Like look at this.
We
got a background of like. India, and you can watch YouTube videos.
It's so bad. It's like, hey, you can actually play movies now without it looking like, you know, you're watching embedded porn on like a fucking first generation iPhone.
Their internet browser on PlayStation is like the worst thing ever made.
I tried to watch a College Humor video on there with Chris. And after 20 minutes of freezing and closing and popping and locking, just didn't work. It's like a big retarded iPhone when it comes to Flash.
Yeah.
Because at least the iPhone will be like, I can't load this, but this one's just like, oh.
Let me try. Hold on.
Are you mad
good?
At me?
Is that good?
Yeah. It's bad. And then they just released like the Laugh Factory app.
Oh yeah.
Who asked for that? Like, where was the demand for that?
You can
hey, you know what we want? We want paid for a subscription based second rate comedy place to stream out their live acts. That's definitely what we want.
Oh, yeah, it's subscription based. That was free.
Oh, fuck yeah! No, it's a free preview.
Okay.
It's free to download. It's a free preview, but they're like, yeah, at the end of September, you got to start paying for that shit.
Apparently, also have NFL ticket as well on PlayStation.
Yeah, I don't have DirecTV,
yeah.
Which is a problem. But still, like, who would watch that on their PlayStation? Like, if you have DirecTV, you have a television.
Yes.
And you can watch football. Like, who's going to be like, fuck this, I'm going on PSN.
Well, I was playing Call of Duty, so I'm too lazy to switch back to TV, so I'll just watch it on here.
In between timeouts, I was poning noobs.
Yep. Got my guys on my voice chat here. We're going to watch the game. Talk to our Bluetooth headsets.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so anyway, that's it for news. Unless there's anything else you guys saw that you probably... Oh, yeah. There's one other new story that we should probably mention is that we have a new champion for the worst box office opening weekend ever. The previous champion was, of course, Delgo, the movie that sued Avatar because it said Avatar copied it.
Clearly.
But so
I thought Alpha and Omega was the worst opening.
No, that was a pretty decent opening. It made at least it made over $1 million, Chris. So, but the new champion is the Oogie Loves, the big balloon adventure that just came out this past weekend. From the creative genius who brought us the Teletubbies.
Yum.
Tarred and feathered and ran out of Hollywood. But yeah, so Oogie Loves made $448,000 this week, past weekend. It was in 2,000 theaters. So that pretty much, Box Office Mojo pretty much figured out that's basically two people a show in every theater.
In all of America.
Yep, in all of America. I think the per theater, per show average was $20, something like $70 maybe.
Hmm. Good.
That movie just looked you walk in there and you're like, did I just drop acid? what the fuck is going on? There's people are giant baby kids spinning and Christopher Lloyd's there for some reason.
I was hoping no one would bring that up.
And Chaz Palminteri.
Sure is. Oh man. I know we joke about this a lot, but that has to be a case of someone having blackmail on Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah.
Or being Chaz, we have your family. What? Have your family. You're gonna be a goddamn Oogie Love.
Dance with these horrible, scary-looking baby creatures.
Oh man!
And there's one of their friends is a vacuum cleaner. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
it's one of those things where if someone described to me this plot, I've probably been you were drunk, right? You can't what?
The plot is they lost five magical balloons. They have to go find them for their big.
That's so insulting for kids. I hate to be the smart kid in this pack of friends that go be unfortunately dragged to see this. You're killing me.
Especially when you have stuff like Paranorman out and stuff. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Witty things that can grow with you. This is a movie that you watch it once as a kid and then you watch it 30 years and you're like, what the fuck happened?
Maybe I was actually surprised there wasn't a lot stoners coming in and watching Oogie Loves.
There probably were.
Well,
but they were probably sneaking in some other movies.
Night shows at the theater I work at were literally empty. There was no one in the theater.
Me and Joe have been to movie theaters where people kept staring at the interactive board, and the parents have no idea what this is. And it's I'm not taking my kid to see this. Some parents are it's a kid's movie. That's a babysitter for 2 hours. But there's actually I don't know what
this. There's actually this weekend. There's actually some people brought their kids to see The Campaign and Lawless.
What? Oh god, I hate people.
Yeah, and then some guy came it was almost a fight because some guy came out yo, you thought you brought your kid to see Lawless, man? What the fuck you thinking? He's whatever. I don't know. Yeah. So congratulations to the Oogie Loves. That's a record probably gonna stand for a while.
Yeah.
Sorry, Delco.
Didn't you say that the producer was it was the marketing guy for Teletubbies, right? It wasn't even a writer or anything. Like the marketing guy.
He was the guy who basically created Teletubbies. It's what I understand. For a couple of years, a big phenomenon there for a couple of years.
Teletubbies is a really docile show,
yeah.
Which I can see the appeal to it. This is now they're doing things and they're befriending appliances. That's not a show.
There's no Sun Baby in the movie.
Sun Baby God will judge you and laugh.
Yeah. He's yeah. Was it was the baby their god? And he was making basically they were doing sacrifices and stuff and
every episode of Teletubbies I remember begins and ends with the sun baby. Like, it's supposed to, like, there's probably some weird UK symbolism there, but, like, I'm pretty sure that, like...
Appease me, minions!
Yeah, that was the whole concept, was these Teletubbies live to appease this, like, sun baby god.
Oh, God.
I'm not an expert in kids' movie. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. That's probably more Teletubbies than anyone should ever talk about, ever.
Yeah,
why don't we move on to newly started for the week, and initially a lot of stuff coming out. Pick of the week this week is a tie. We have two awesome season fours on DVD this week, Fringe and Parks and Recreation.
Cool.
Yeah, the last season of Fringe is coming up in a couple weeks. It's going to be, like, they're at the point of basically, like, if you haven't watched the show, fuck you, we're just going to go insane.
Probably watch it once it finishes.
Then we also have Criminal Minds, the seventh season. Yep.
Cool.
Basically, all the CBS shows have their seasons coming out this week. Like, Two Broke Girls. Person of Interest, season one.
That's a title for that show.
We also have Piranha 3 Double D out this week on DVD.
Good.
I've heard it's completely awful.
Of course.
Titanic 3D is out this week on 3D Blu-ray.
Good.
Safe is out this week. Jason Statham protecting...
Oh, yeah.
Protecting math. Or, like, trying to solve math.
I've saved math into Asia.
It was okay. Definitely not the best Jason Statham movie of the year by any means. We have Reanimator on Blu-ray this week.
Yes.
The cult classic.
Hell yeah.
It's like an off-Broadway musical and stuff and everything.
It was, yeah, but so was Taxi.
Yeah.
It was Taxi.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Hey, good shit, man. Mm-hmm. Check that out if you're a fan of, like, crazy horror flicks.
The Good Wife Season 3 out this week.
That was the first season of that.
Yeah, I've heard from, like, different, like, podcasts I listen to and stuff that show is actually pretty good.
Is it?
I don't know. That's why I hear it. That's the word on the street, is that it's pretty good. Season 8 of The Office out this week?
Yes.
Shut up, Chris.
I'm the only survivor.
Yep. We have Harry Potter Wizards Collection, which is a 31-disc collection of every single movie.
Oh, kill me.
$345.
Why do they need that?
I mean, you could probably just buy, like...
Tell me there's new stuff.
Maybe.
Like, tell me there's, like, two new movies. You can only get... Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, you probably could just buy, like, the collector's edition of each one on Blu-ray, and, like, it'd be, like, $100 less than that.
God almighty.
Also have the 5-year engagement out this week from the producers of Bridesmaids, but didn't do nearly as well as Bridesmaids.
It looks funny.
Yeah.
Like, I'll see what that guy's name is movies.
Jason Segel.
Like, especially this one scene where the little girl's like, look, I'm Katniss from the Hunger Games. She shoots, like...
Shoots an arrow into his leg, yeah.
Shoots an arrow into, like, whatever face's
yeah,
leg.
What?
Yeah, like, that's pretty funny. But imagine that's, like, one of four, like, funny scenes in the rest of the movie, just, like, you know, emotional comedy sequences where it's like, oh, I feel sad.
We also have Hocus Pocus on Blu-ray this week.
Cool. Just in time for not Halloween.
For not Halloween. Like, that and, like, Ernest Scared Stupid were, like, my two, like, Halloween kids movies when I was a kid.
Hocus Pocus. Good stuff.
Everyone got abducted in Ernest Scares Stupid, right? Like, the troll went around abducting
kids. Yeah, the troll
kids.
Turning kids into, like, wooden figures and putting them into a tree.
Okay.
Horrifying.
It was pretty scary as a kid. Because, like, he's murdering those kids! Save them, Ernest, with your milk or whatever you use to kill that troll.
Did he steal a bunch of slave kids at the beginning? And Eartha Kitt was in it, and she was all like, yes! Somehow I'm like 80 years old.
Who knows? It was an Ernest movie. The third season of Hung is also out this week.
Splendid.
I should probably watch that at some point.
You have a lot of shit to watch, Chris.
Yeah.
I gotta buy your HBO Go.
You do.
We have the 20th anniversary edition of The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Oh.
Something I'm super excited about this week. Finally on DVD, Mega Force, the 80s classic.
Nice.
If you have never seen that movie, check it out. It is amazing.
It's the most badass title of all time.
It's pretty much the closest thing you'll ever get to, like, a live-action Mask movie. If you remember, the 80s, cartoon Mask? And it's also,
no.
And it's, the most vehicles and, explosions you'll ever see in a movie. Any movie. There's literally, a 10-minute sequence just, cars driving off a plane, parachuting into, this enemy territory and blowing the shit out of this enemy base. It's, it's like never ending, just a stream of vehicles just driving off this plane. They're basically Team America too, or something, or like G.I. Joe. because the UN forms the secret task force to go and stop terrorists, and they have the most super advanced weapons that the 80s can provide, flying motorcycles and stuff, and holograms and lasers.
When did this movie come out? I'm sorry, Zach, that, I haven't seen this, but, I don't remember this.
It came out, 85, 86.
Huh.
I'll send you guys the trailer, because the trailer is pretty amazing. There's some guy, doing a voiceover, you have never seen a spectacle like Mega Force. But yeah, so it was actually, the whole movie was on YouTube for forever. But, yeah, so now it's on DVD, finally. It was actually, Matt Parker and Trey Stone actually say it's the inspiration for Team America.
Sounds about right.
And last couple things, the original Mother's Day, speaking of trauma movies, because that was a trauma movie, right? Mother's Day?
The first one, yep.
Yeah, so that's on Blu-ray this week. And Bored to Death Season 3 is out this week.
Oh, Bored to Death. No one gave you a chance.
So that's it for the releases. So why don't we get into Show and Tell? And, I don't know, who wants to kick it off? Chris?
Okay. So, these are not unexpectedly action movies, but I did start watching the Courage and Friendship collection I bought at Kmart.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Do you think Walmart, $5 bin movies are just, the bottom tier, movie collections? You have not been to a Kmart lately.
An abandoned Kmart?
An abandoned
Kmart. It's like Kmart.
It's not even a super Kmart, just a regular Kmart.
There's, teleport here, a time warp from, 1980-something.
We're one of four customers in this Kmart. It was so empty. So I bought this, and I started slowly watching. I started picking at this. There's no right way to approach all these movies. So you just pick at random. And I picked the first movie called Two Bits and Pepper. And it's about it's about these two girls and their horses, who encounter Joe Piscopo. Two Joe Piscopos.
Is he like twins or?
He plays twins. One of them is named Spider, and he's a giant spider on his neck. And the other brother is Handicap, like Rain Man style slash like comical Handicap making fun of in like the 80s sense.
Is this, like, is this like Rip Joe Piscopo? Like he was like pumping weights?
Could be, but we never even really see it.
Yeah, I don't know what date this movie came out. I think it was like 92.
It was later than that, man.
Well, they didn't have cell phones or papers. Like, it was very... That would have helped a lot with the plot.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, it's about, like, just, like, innocent child napping. Because it's, like, it's a kid's movie. But there's so many, like, adult themes going on, but the movie doesn't really focus on that. Because they focus on two talking horses.
Okay.
And one horse is named Pepper, and he's actually like a normal gray horse. I forgot what breed, but it doesn't matter. And Two Bits is a miniature horse, and just the worst shit happens to him. There's actually a flashback sequence about this movie that was really just the worst thing you can imagine for a kid's movie to have. Think the death of Bambi's mom. You know, like, that was really touching, and, like, you're like, oh, that stuck with you? This is the opposite. Like, Two-Bit had a flashback about how his mom died, and it's about these two horses, you know, a new little, I'm not sure what they call it, like a baby horse, but like a baby miniature horse, and a miniature horse, and the mom's like, oh, be careful when you're going out, you know. And a drunk driver is, like, driving in the countryside of L.A. Like, they're in California. And this drunk driver, I don't know how far he drove away to be that drunk, and, like, no one caught him. He, like, drives in this countryside and fucking hits the miniature horse.
Jesus.
It's pretty traumatic.
But, like, the best part was, it was a great setup, but it was predictable. Because, like, as soon as I saw, like, a dream filter, like, one of those, like, foggy filters, I'm like, why is Two-Bits having a dream? Like, why are we in a horse's dream?
Or does he have glaucoma?
It's like, why is it now, like, he has a mom he's talking? Like, why is he talking to his mom? It's like, what? And then it's like, you see this car driving, like, erratically, and then it's like, he's drinking. I'm like, uh-oh. And then, like, instantly, two to two together, the fucking guy just, like, jumps a curb and just hits this miniature horse. And I'm like, did that fucking just happen in a kid's movie?
It's okay, kids. He'll be all right.
Oh, man. There's so many parts about this where just, like, they're not gonna, oh, my God, they do. Like, they burn down a house. Like, there's guns involved. There's, like, threats of, like, rape. Joe Piscopo shoots a horse. Like, it's really weird shit that goes on in this movie that I'm like, oh, my God, you cannot put this on TV.
Don't forget the, like, flatulent, retarded twin.
Oh, my, okay, yeah. Like, that's another insensitive thing about this movie. Besides, like, this is a mom character that, like, such a, like, a bitchy mom. Like, she's such a terrible mom that, like, insinuates that, like, her daughter is like, oh, you're 9. Like, you think you know the rest of the world? Like, you know how the world works? How about you leave the house and, like, go, you know, do whatever? I'm like, okay, that's just bad parenting for a kid's movie to know. Like, oh, your mom's a terrible mom, so that gives you the right just to run away. Whatever. And then, like, you see this handicapped character, and you thought, oh, maybe he's just, like, the good brother. Like, he's just influenced by, like, you know, his evil, like, more aggressive brother. Turns out the retard guy is just, like, retarded and evil. Like, it's like, there's just no, like, redemption for his character. And it's hilarious because it's, like, they cannot reproduce a movie like this without it being, like, a parody. But this is not a parody movie. This is, it's trying to be serious, but, like, it just fails on all fronts. So that was the worst movie of the thing. I was like, all right. So then we pop in when Zachary Beaver came to town. And instantly, we got the everyone is in it that is, like, kind of unknown characters, unknown actors. But what's her name, like, showed up? Joe, what was her name again? Like, the chick from 30 Rock?
Oh, she plays Jenna Maroney. Her name is, Jane, like, Krukovich or... Something. I don't know.
But anyway, but she's, you know, it's like, oh, there's a name actress in this movie. Okay.
Before she was a name.
The best part was like, okay, like, hey, I recognize her. This is actually like a person on TV I've seen. And then I'm like, okay, everyone else, I have no idea who this is. You know, this is one of those movies that will haunt like kid actors late years from now. Because it's like, weren't you in this shitty movie? Like, perfect for that. Anyway, this plot's about this fat kid from New Jersey who gets left in Texas. And these, like, hillbilly kids, like, befriend him. And then, like, they realize, hey, you're not, like, complete. Because you're, besides being fat, like, you're just not complete without a good old-fashioned baptism. Okay. Like, out of nowhere, where it's like, wait, this is a Christian movie? Like, just, I couldn't predict it. Like, how insane this, like, I realize it's a religious movie. What? When did this become a Christian movie? Like, holy shit. Joe, did you see that coming where, like, the twist showed up and it was like, well, you need a baptism, fat kid?
That got really weird as soon as, like, the diner owner was, like, talking about Jesus.
Oh, yeah. So they do the sequence.
Drunk, and he's talking about Nam. Like, it was weird.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it would be a Christian movie. But then when this, like, town drunk slash, like, diner operator talks about, like, this, the, like, being cleansed and, like, looking good for Jesus.
Cleansed in, like, the blood of Charlie.
The best part was, like, there was this, like, Black Dynamite-esque sequence where they're debating about, like, a Bible study, and he's, like, trying to connect all these dots about the events in the movie and, like, the Bible. And it's, like, Joe Turner goes, like, this is just, like, Black Dynamite. They're fucking gonna, like, go through phrases of the Bible from, like, you know, oh, this is from Paul, like, 2:18. And you're like, oh, I definitely know that chapter. Like, it's just really weird verses that, like, they don't mention until this one sequence all these shit. And you're like, I spent an hour watching this religious movie. And it's just, like, it's upsetting because, like, I knew one out of these movies would be a religious movie. Like, it's always snuck in to all these combo packs, you know? Like, I just didn't expect it to be the second movie. So, yeah. Zachary Beaver Comes to Town, it's on TV. Like, I actually saw it on, like, on Comcast as a, like, instant movie to watch for free. And I was like, aww.
It's like public domain. no one cares about the rights to that movie anymore. It's like, whatever.
There's, like, one or two, like, other big-name actors in this that definitely, like, owe someone a favor to be in this Christian movie. But it's definitely not, like, Fireproof or,
Courageous.
Courageous. Was Courageous a cop movie where they signed a bill about not doing bad things?
Yeah, they signed a dad contract or something, and they're like,
oh my god,
we're gonna pledge to God that we're gonna be good fathers.
I have no problem with religious people and their movies, but I hate being checked when they don't mention it, like, in their, like, movies, because I'm like, this is a movie about making fun of a fat kid, and, like, the fat kid's gonna, like, fight back, and no, it's about him getting a bat. Like, the fatness is just, like, a MacGuffin. It has nothing to do with the baptism, but it's like, you thought that might be it, like, it'd just be like this fat kid just like, oh, he's fat. Nope, it's about him getting a baptism. Like, it's the most, like, I could not predict that.
It's kind of weird that it's a religious movie and it has, like, almost a porn name.
Oh, yeah. There's so many,
like, you just put an apostrophe S and be like, when Zachary's Beaver came to town or something.
Oh. And to top it off, like, I stopped the movie collection. I had to go home and, like, watch something else to clear my mind from all this insaneness. I'm sorry, Joe. We didn't get to see Spy Mates yet. But we will. There's actually, like, four movies based on, besides Two Bits and Pepper, there's other movies based on, like, animals with courage.
Those are always good.
Yeah, those are always good.
You should find out, like, how many animals they murdered to make those movies.
That's the best part.
Like, Milo and Otis.
Oh my god, I actually read, like, they killed 30 kittens for that.
Yep. Throwing off waterfalls and stuff. And
let it get eaten by, like, birds and shit. Like, yep. This was a great film. But yeah, I started watching this, I don't know why, but on Netflix, it just suggested to me, like, you might like Cracker. And I was like, that's offensive. Okay, whatever. I looked at it because it's, like, the most photoshopped image of Robbie Coltrane.
Mm-hmm.
Coltrane. It's just, like, his image is definitely dated, but the
font, like the font and the fire that's like around this word is just like cracker. I'm like, they just cannot name this movie, this TV series, something else, could they?
It probably means something different in British, right?
Yeah, right. It does. It means like you. It, that's what they call like a really good psychologist, a cracker, because you crack the mind. That kind of makes sense in a textbook way, but not like in a street setting, you know. And then, Cracker is about this psychologist, criminal psychologist named Fritz something. I forgot always looked his name, but they just call him Fritz. And he is like one of the biggest anti-heroes I've ever seen, besides like the Punisher. And but even the Punisher is fit, you know, like he looks like he could take on a guy. Fritz is not. Like he's a fat, gambling, alcoholic womanizer. And he's charming that way. Like it's great because people think anti-hero, they think of like, you know, like a Thomas Jane-esque character who's like rugged and like mean and hardened by the world and like, you know, takes it out on his like physique. But this guy, like, he doesn't. He's just like, oh, the world sucks. I guess I'll just eat. Like, I guess I'll be like the most anti-thing, like anti-healthy, anti-happy, you know? And because he abuses like his demons like that, he's really good at trying to figure out how like criminals think, because it's like he's comically not, because it's like these criminals he's always catching are like really young and like fit people, and like he's like bumbly in a way because of that. It's just like, ah, well, it can't be you, so I guess I'll outsmart you in a way. And it's a dated mystery show. Probably Coltrane, if those who don't know, is Hagrid from Harry Potter. Like, that's his, like, one of his most famous roles. So I knew him from that and a few James Bond movies and this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so weird to, like, go down the line to see him in this movie, in these like, TV series. And, yeah, it's not even like Sherlock Holmes where he deduces based on evidence. He just, like, constantly like bombards like the criminals with, and it's one of those mystery shows that you see like who's done it and whatever, just, you know, so like everything's in play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the characters making the connections.
Is he a bigger asshole than House, or is House
he's not that kind of asshole-ish, but like when he's angry or drunk, he's an asshole. I'm not sure of that level. I know House actually is more modern in the sense, but then this is like, you know, this is UK and they're very well-mannered. Like, everyone's shocked every time he always says something rude, you know, like, mm-hmm. And it's 1993 too, so all the science aspects are just out the window.
So it's actually like 1983?
Because
like Britain, it seems like Britain's like 10 years, like 70s Britain was like 60s America.
Yes, in the sense where like everything is behind, and like they don't have a lot of the mysteries would have been solved with like cameras and phones. Like just having a cell phone would have helped tremendously, mm-hmm. in half these murders and stuff. So it's always comical how like these criminals could have just been easily caught, but like the fact that it's 1993 and it's like a very weird section of the I don't know what part of England they're in, but it's like it's half countryside, half like suburban area, so all the murderers are just like low key and they're
white,
but they're violent as hell.
It's on the Whitechapel.
Yeah, it's like just like it's like hillside murder.
What was the town from Hot Fuzz?
Oh, I forgot it. But it's like that. It's similar to that, you know? It's like, it's just country and a little bit of a city town.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good show. Like, I don't want to ruin it, but, like, I'm going to say all the villains in it are well thought out. You know, like, each murder case he takes on is, like, 2 episodes long, so it's, like, 2 hours, an hour per episode. It's only, like, 23 episodes, 23 or 25, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It spans from 1993 to 2005, so it's actually very, like, that's a long series for a UK show.
Is it straight through, or is it, like, there's, like, a miniseries, like...
It's a straight-through miniseries. Like, I guess they film one episode, like, one season,
is like six episodes.
But it's been out for like, what, over 10 years?
Yeah. Ridiculous, right?
That's pretty ridiculous. Considering like,
yeah, but
considering,
again,
considering
like,
what Robbie Coltrane did.
Yeah, and here's the insane part. In 1997, when the show was still going, they made an American like remake of it. And that only lasted 16 episodes.
Was it still called Cracker?
It was still called Cracker. It starred, like, a bunch of that guys and Josh Hartnett.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you watch Murphy Brown as a kid?
Nope.
Okay, well, like, the Cracker, like, the Fritz of that series was, like, was the Italian guy from the Eraser movie that, like, he actually helped Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Josh, yeah, so it's, like, you know, yeah. But, like, that, it's just, like, he's not the same as, like, a bubbly UK man. Like, they made Fritz, like, an Italian, like, a fat Italian guy. So I guess it didn't really appeal. But, like, it lasted for, like, 3 years in the American version. So I was really surprised.
Well, wait, it's just
not episodes.
Maybe, like, one season now.
True. But each episode was an hour long, so...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I think there's, like, a stipulation. If your show is, like, more than an hour long, you get, like, less than 10 episodes a season. Usually, now,
like
Mad Men.
13.
Like 13,
yeah.
Right? So I'm saying, like, if your show's an hour long.
If you're like a cable hour long show, usually like 13 episodes.
But, yeah, like, if you like Luther, you'll love Cracker, because it's like the same kind of, like, he deduces, but he can't fight or anything. Like, he has to rely on, like, the police showing up and, like, mobbing whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the murderers don't have weapons. Like, we watch a lot of UK shows, me and you, Zach. And,
yeah.
Like, the murderers, like, this is also 1993, where, like, guns weren't as popular. Like, they're popular, but not, like, the black market wasn't, like, a big, big thing. You know? Like, it was, like, really secretive. So it was hard to get a gun in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the murders involved just, like, bashing people in the head with, like, blunt objects or, like, strangulations, you know? Like, they don't involve, like, guns. And then it's like, okay, who got you the gun?
The one guy in the UK who sells guns.
One guy in the UK was just like, I am making a killing.
Johnny Guns.
So, yeah. It takes a while because it takes, like, one or two episodes to really get into it. Because after the first, like, murder case, you're like, okay. I want to see, like, how this character changes throughout the series. But it's also a hard show to watch if you're not familiar with UK culture, too.
Are there heavy accents?
Holy shit. Scottish.
Oh, man.
Native English.
Subtitles necessary.
Irish.
Subtitles necessary?
They're, like, yelling, and they're saying, like, slang words. Not bad.
Okay,
but
so it's not,
by season,
it's not like,
season two.
It's not like Attack the Block level where it's just like super like crazy accents and then also slang, so it's like you have no idea what the fuck they're saying.
Oh, not to sound racist, but they introduce like the like urban British,
yeah.
Like
oh,
blacks and whites. Like,
what the fuck?
It's not that bad because it's like the 90s early British style of slang, so it's not like heavily influenced by like gang.
I'm trying to think of like the slang term that they use for what they call the chavs.
I no idea.
Yeah, I think it's
like,
chavs.
I mean, yeah, this is definitely like the subculture exists in the show because I'm up to like season three where like some of the murders involve like really fucked up things like rape and like gang initiation stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you hear like, oh, we got to visit like this black English dude, and he speaks all like weird accents. And like, okay, I'm gonna be patient and not turn on the subtitles. But yes, I highly recommend it.
Awesome. And so Joe had to leave early, but he said he pretty much watched. He subjected him to like those two horrible kids movies.
Yeah, he he helped. It definitely helps to like have a few drinks and watch it with someone. It's definitely like those two kids movies are really like messed up for kids movies. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely you don't want to watch it alone because you'll be like it'll be in your head and there's no way to like get it out without talking about it. You know?
Why did that drunk driver kill that horse?
Man, this drunk driver like. It's like, he definitely, you know, made a bad turn, and he killed this horse. But, like, the distance between the turn and the horse was, like, so hilariously different that, like, this guy kind of just, like, jumped over this curve and went, fuck it, I'm killing this horse. Like, there's no way you can accidentally kill a horse like this.
Oh, man. So, I watched a bunch of stuff over the last week or so.
Cool.
First up, I'll do a couple of them quick, but, I watched Space Jam on Blu-ray because I got it for a bargain bin Blu-ray, $10. And man, that movie is like injecting, I don't know, what they call it like 1997 maybe, or like 1990.
Like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Around then.
It's basically like injecting that year into your eyeballs. It's also basically just like, how awesome was 90s basketball? The answer, totally awesome.
If you weren't a Chicago Bulls fan from 1994, like, you just didn't like basketball.
Yeah. And it's basically just, like, someone just said, hey, you know who's awesome? Michael Jordan. We should make a whole movie about Michael Jordan.
It's just it's also, one giant okay, marketing.
Well, it's also, like, it's the weird explanation for, like, why Michael Jordan retired from basketball and then came back to basketball.
Why he joined baseball for, like, a year and
yeah.
came back. And was like, I'm terrible at that.
Yeah. Because, like, he goes, like, the entire arc of that is, like, in Space Jam. Like, I retired from basketball. I'm going to play baseball. All right, I'm going to play basketball again.
All because Bugs Bunny suggested he should.
Yeah, because aliens came and invaded. Monstars. I watching a guy. I love the, like the misadventures of like Charles Barkley and the other NBA players.
Oh my god, the Charles Barkley part is the most insulting thing to his career.
Just, like,
besides him
like them,
being in it,
well, like them going to like the hospital and like, going through all the tests and stuff, and like going to like the psychiatrist. Yeah, but then there's like the weird like Charles Barkley is like goes to like the street court and like there's all like the girl like the inner city girls playing and like. Yo, you're Charles Barkley, come play with us. And he just gets slammed and rejected. And like, you're not Charles Barkley, just a wannabe. Charles Barkley's like, oh, man.
Oh, I'm not Charles Barkley. It's like, I was kind of interested in that plot. Like, what?
Yeah.
Should have been a spinoff movie about just, like, their, like, downfall in the NBA for, like, a week. How long was Michael Jordan in that world?
It was, like, maybe a week, not even.
Right, and for that 1 week, like, the Dream Team just lost their shit, you know?
Well, the entire NBA shut down because they thought there was, like, a viral outbreak happening. Do you remember that part? Like, they shut down, like, the LA Forum because they thought, like, there were germs that was, like, affecting their, like, people's motor skills and stuff. So, like, there's no NBA until we figure out if there's germs or not.
It was just like, all right, everyone, go home. Don't get tested for this, whatever.
They go like to like the psychic, and she basically like is like dead on. They're like, "What Bugs Bunny? What the fuck? Let's get acupuncture or something." But that movie, like, the Space Jam, also is like there's like no resting in that movie. It's like 80 minutes. It's like not even 90 minutes long. So it's just like they don't stop at anything. It's just like Mike Jordan's here. All right, we're gonna train. All right, we trained. All right, we're playing basketball. All right, the basketball game's over.
All right, let's introduce this, like, very sexualized rabbit character.
Yeah.
That's not going to confuse young boys.
Even, like, your fucking, like when they, like, introduce the Looney Tunes, they're, like, standing at a scintillating 3'4". Or she's like, if Jessica Rabbit was, like, an actual rabbit.
Yeah. And, like, I can't even name, like, two female like Looney Tunes. It's like the grandma and Lola Bunny. Like that's it.
It was also like the witch. Who like
oh yeah. Yeah. She was in it. Because
Tweety is a guy.
Yeah, Tweety's a guy.
Yeah. You wouldn't think that, but yeah. He's just a high talker.
But the worst part is, like, there's a whole planet full of scuzzy aliens. Remember? Like, they don't...
run like the most unsafe, shitty amusement park.
They run basically just, like, Coney Island.
Sold by Danny DeVito.
No, it's not Danny DeVito. It's like a...
Danny DeVito is the voice.
Really?
Yeah. Of, oh, God. I just watched it. I can't remember his name. It's like... Swackhammer. Yeah. Swackhammer is the evil alien crime kingpin.
Swackhammer. He had the worst business model for, like, how he's going to conduct it. How he's going to capture Michael Jordan. And, no, how he wanted to capture the Looney Tunes.
He's going to force the Looney Tunes to basically just, like, be... like, do stand-up for eternity. But then he's like, he was going to capture Michael Jordan and, like, make him do, like, chain him up, have him play one-on-one against, like, stupid
people.
Evil alien, like, stupid alien teenagers that, like, lose the entire every time.
Here's the best part. You stole people's abilities in your own henchmen. Why not make your henchmen do what Michael Jordan couldn't do? You know, like...
Well, they finally realized at the end, they're like, oh, yeah, we're bigger than you, so we can, like... pick your ass and shoot you back to the planet.
Right. The message of that movie is always be the tallest.
Yes. Be good at basketball.
Be good at basketball and be the tallest to your boss.
Oh, and possibly like one of the greatest like extended Bill Murray cameos.
Yeah, like it was really weird how they convinced Bill Murray to be in this. Besides like Michael Jordan.
He'll be in Space Jam. He won't be in Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, how insane is that?
I know. He did like. I love, like, one of my favorite parts of Space Jam, though, is, like, it comes back at the end. Like, oh, man, we need a fifth player. And then Bill Murray just comes in and is like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Swack Hammer's like, wait a minute, Dan Aykroyd's in this movie? Yeah, so Space Jam is, like, I think you had to be, like, a 90s kid to, like, appreciate, understand Space Jam. Like, if you're born any other time or like you were an adult when a spaceship came out, you have no idea what the hell's going on with it.
It's definitely a period piece of like our generation. It cannot be like rude. Like
it's like our like you know how like '80s kids have like Goonies and everyone loves Goonies, but like like Space Camp or something or Explorers or
I get what you're talking about. I'm trying to think of like a totally '80s thing that just like. It all, like, Rad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we love Rad, too. But, like,
love Rad, but not the way, like, an 80s kid loved Rad.
Yeah. Like, 10-year-olds, like, if you're, like, 10 years old and you saw Space Jam, it's like, yeah, you will always love Space Jam.
And I want to play basketball. Yeah. Like, things like that.
Oh, and also, maybe the best soundtrack ever of the 90s.
For, like, I Believe I Could Fly was in everything that year. It was in birthdays.
Space
it was in weddings. It was in funerals.
Quad City DJs.
What?
Quad City DJs, Space Jam. Come on, Jam, and Welcome to the Jam.
That was the guy's name was...
It was the Quad City DJs. They also did the song, Come On, Ride the Train.
Okay.
there's so many, like, those 90s, like Tootsie Roll and all those other, like, Whoop, There It Is.
Just like music that I know what you're talking about like this, when I hear it.
Yeah.
But when it's like, can you name the artist? I'm just like, I have no idea.
Definitely one hit wonders, or maybe possibly two hit wonders. I don't know if Coming Around the Train was a huge hit or not. But yeah, so Space Jam on Blu-ray, it was awesome. Also watched Sin City on IFC. It was on Friday night on IFC, so I was like, all right, I'll watch Sin City. I guess IFC. Still a pretty awesome movie. The cast of that movie is insane. Just the amount of people they got in it. And actually, some people doing like fucking like Elijah Wood as like the creepiest motherfucker ever in a movie.
I really enjoyed his Marvin. Or is it?
Well, Kevin. No,
Kevin.
Yeah. Doesn't say a word. Just staring at you blankly before he eats you.
I think in the comic, Kevin's a little bit older. Like, at least 8 years older. Mm-hmm. Elijah Wood does a pretty good job of being a creepy, like, nerd Bible guy.
But he's also weird. Like, he's like a ninja, kind of, because he's just, like, super, like, completely silent and, like, super fast. He also has, like, I don't know if he had, like, nail, like, he just screws nails.
He had sharp nails.
Yeah, or he's, like, he could, like, grow them like Wolverine or something, but.
No, he just had sharp nails.
It's kind of weird, because, like, it's like people kind of have superpowers in Sin City, but not really. Like, Marv is just like the Hulk, basically.
Yeah, he's just a big dude.
Yeah,
and ugly.
He also has like he has like super like he can like run over by a car like 20 times and not be fazed by it.
Well, then again, it was driven by a woman.
Yeah.
So. kidding. But I do like how they give the most bare minimum backstories of the characters, just enough that you're like, okay, I understand how that's reasonable, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, Kevin, they don't explain how he's able to do all this, but he did it, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like
the ward of the Rucker Hauer, Cardinal Rourke.
And Rucker Hauer, they don't show his rise to power, but they just, like, mention it real fast, and that's why you hate him, you know?
Yeah, because Powers Booth is the senator, so he basically, like, made his brother cardinal. And let the son do whatever the hell he wants.
And the son, you know, he was basically, like, a very broken man. And he came back all yellow and, like, I don't know what operation fucking did this to you.
Wasn't it supposed to be an operation to, like, grow his junk back?
Yeah. But, like, he turned him, like, all, like, it's yellow, such
bald
a...
Bald
and fat and stinky and yellow. Like, it's so, like, funny.
Was it worth it to get your balls back? I guess maybe...
No, I think his dick completely, like, was just gone.
Yeah, because Bruce Willis shot his dick off.
Yep.
And then he ripped it off.
And he beat him to death.
Yeah.
Pretty badass. Bruce Willis in that scene was, like, a very badass character.
Yeah. I'd say, I feel like the stories, I'd probably put the Marv story first, then Hartigan, and then the Clive Owen Dwight story.
In the sequel, they're giving his character another story again. Because I think Clive Owen's story is, like, the most expansive, because it's...
that's basically the entire plot of the second one is going to be...
Right, know, right.
Like, a dame to kill for. Which is, I think he and Marv team up to, like, go rescue one of Dwight's old girlfriends or something.
Something like
that. Yeah.
But there's a part where, like, they show Dwight back when he had his old face, and then his new face. Mm-hmm. And Dwight's actually pretty old, and his new face makes him look younger.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in Sin City.
But, hey, Jessica Alba as, like, the stripper girl, mm-hmm. I forget her name. But, like, in the comic, she's just naked. It's great, but they censored the hell out of it for her, because she was like, hell no.
Carla Gugino made up for it.
Yeah, that's true. Oh my god. That was a great, like, scene, and then when she's missing her hand, it's like, oh, you're still sexy.
Yeah. You're like a 9.5 now.
Yeah, you just lost a point. It's fine.
So watch that. Also watched, I finally watched Casa de Mi Padre, the Will Ferrell Spanish comedy.
Was it very good?
It was all right. It definitely had some funny parts in it. The thing about it was it was trying way too hard to be like to sort of like point out how like it's intentional shittiness, because it's like parodying like terrible like Spanish soap operas and like Spanish movies, and, like Mexican movies. So it's trying to be like it's definitely trying to be like Black Dynamite, where it's like blaxploitation movies and like. Doing all, like, the like, boom mics in the shots and, like, clearly, like, project, like, they're not driving anywhere. They're just, like, they're putting a projector in the back and, like, they're sitting in a car in the studio. But, I mean, Black Dynamite, like, it was super subtle. They didn't point, it was just part of the thing and they just let go. They didn't mention it. They didn't, like, point it out or, like, wink at the camera about it or anything. Like, Casa de Mi Padre is, like, they are, like, huh? Like, look at, this background is painted, right? Right? Like, this shot is, like, there's a shot where, like, they're driving the town in a truck, but then it cuts to, like, this, like, model town and, like, toy truck. So it's just like a toy truck driving through town for like no reason. And there's like animatronic animals everywhere for some reason. It's actually like super well done because like Jim Henson did it, but it's like there's like this like animatronic Muppet lion that's in the movie. It's like Will Ferrell's like spirit guide at the end of the movie. So like a lot of weird like, see how shitty we made this because that's how apparently Mexican movies are made or something.
Okay.
But it was definitely like a little bit more like too much like winking and nodding at like see.
It wasn't subtle about how terrible it was. Like try to be like pointed out like we are awful at what we're doing.
Well, I mean, it's intentionally supposed to be awful, but they're just pointing it out a little bit too much. Like Black Dynamite, they're like, it's just like, this is the movie, it's like, yeah, this is a blaxploitation movie. That's how they were. We're not going to point it out or anything. This boom mic and shot, Michael Jai White's not going to point it out or anything, or like, look at it, and then like, look at the camera and be like, uh-uh. But yeah, it was it definitely had some funny parts. It's definitely hilarious to try to see Will Ferrell speak Spanish for the entire movie. There's a couple like musical segments for like no reason, which of course because it's a Will Ferrell movie, there's gotta be like a musical moment. So maybe I would say if it's on like Netflix, instant watch maybe in a couple months or something, I would say check it out. Or I got it from Redbox, and it was like a free Redbox movie, so that was probably worth it. But definitely not one of my favorite Will Ferrell movies. And then I also watched our extremely popular contest offering from a couple weeks ago, Hijacked, with Randy Couture, his big solo outing. That was okay. It was so basically you have Randy Couture trying to stop this hijacking of this like rich billionaire's like private jet, which is actually like it's not like a, like you think of, like private jet, you think it's like an older jet or something. It's actually like a full 747, which I guess they're like gives them more room to have action sequences in.
Yeah, but like a 747 is a Boeing, right? Like it's a big plane.
Yeah,
so it's not like
huge.
A jet.
Yeah, but it's private. And they put there's fucking like stairs in it. There's like wood paneling everywhere. There's like a bar.
It's pretty elaborate.
They ripped out like all the passenger seats. They put like giant like leather lounge chairs in it and stuff. But so Halt McCallany from Lights Out and also Fight Club, I think, was like his other.
Yeah, he was in a few scenes.
Yeah, but yeah, Lights Out most recently is like the head of the hijackers. He's like the most like overconfident hijacker I've ever seen in a movie because he just brings like two of his other teammates with him. And that's it for like, to take over this entire 747.
How many people are on it that are actually
like at least
guards or
at
something?
At least 10. I mean, you had Randy Couture, you had
So Randy Couture is like 5 men already.
Yeah.
So.
You had Dominic Purcell, who was in like Killer Elite and a bunch of other movies. He was Dracula in Blade 3.
Okay.
And I think so he's like the head of security, and so he and Randy Couture are basically the ones who are gonna try to stop these guys. And they like meet like within like so the terrorists all they put them, the hijackers put them all in this one room and basically have this one guy guard them, and pretty much like within 5 seconds Randy Couture like knocks the guy out and like frees everyone. It tells everyone to go hide, and then they proceed just like everyone goes and hides, and they try to like find the rest of the hijackers and take him out. So if he had maybe like a couple more guys, maybe their plan would have went a little bit better. But yeah, they're pretty much immediately just like taken out by Randy Couture.
So it was just like poor management on the villain side. That was their downfall.
Yeah.
Is there also like a injected love story?
Well,
put in
Randy Couture's, I guess I don't know if it's his ex-wife or they're just like separated, but like she's like the rich billionaire guy's new publicist, and she's on the plane. And then like Randy Couture doesn't know she's on the plane, but when he gets there, he's like, "What? What are you doing on this plane?"
Great.
Oh, also, I should mention Vinnie Jones is in it for the beginning, and he's like Randy Couture's partner. But he's also,
he probably dies, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, within like the first 10 minutes of the movie.
I knew it. Well, like, and Vinnie Jones, I'm like, he's not in any of those airplane sequences.
Yeah. Well, he's like I think so. Randy Couture works for the CIA, and then Vinnie Jones works for MI6. But they're like,
at least they got that.
They're partnered
right up
for they're trying to like oh god, what the hell is the name of the fucking terrorist cell they're trying to? It's like. It's some stupid name for like terrorist like cell they're trying to find. But I mean, it was alright. There was some decent fight scenes in it. Some good fake blood going on whenever someone gets shot. Just like get like squibs going off. So that's always nice to see instead of like CG blood. I think Randy Couture should maybe stick to being a supporting person, though.
Like, I don't mind Randy Couture trying to be a lead actor. I don't mind that. Yeah. But you got to make him, like...
He doesn't have a very big emotional range.
Right,
say.
He just seems like a big, tough guy.
Yeah.
Which I'm fine with in Randy Couture, because I don't expect him to be, like, a romantic comedy. I don't want him to be, like, the pacifier, too.
Yeah. Well, I tried, like there's, like, a couple, like... Thankfully, there's not a lot of them. There's a couple scenes where they're like, trying to make him, like, emote. Be like, I'm sad because my wife's not here.
I'm also sad because Vinnie Jones, yeah. I met him and he died.
He's like, it's like, yeah, like your partner's died. He's like, well, I'm going to go get this. I'm going to go find these hijackers, I guess, then. Or let's find some evidence.
Like, what do the hijackers want besides, like, do they want the plane? Do they want the person in the plane?
They want money for their terrorist organization to fund it or something. But then there's a twist about that at the end, too, that's kind of stupid.
Alright, well.
Which I don't want to spoil, but. So I'd say if that's on Netflix, too, I would say that's probably the best place to watch that. Or if you
it'd probably
or
be
if
like
you want
a
it,
giant like, collection the, later on.
If you're one of the two people who want it from us, then you go ahead and watch that. If you've already, hopefully you've already seen it.
Yeah, why are you listening to us talk about it? You should watch it, winners.
Yeah. So and then last thing I watched from for Show and Tell is I saw Premium Rush.
You mean like John Blake Begins?
Yes. So yeah, so Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Bike messenger in New York City gets a delivery. Turns out a crooked cop played by Michael Shannon wants the delivery. And then basically just like chased through New York City to try to get this package, or like the delivery from him. So, yeah, so I would say at least 2/3 of this movie is just like bike chases. Which they kind of get.
Well,
they kinda,
that's predictable.
Yeah, they kind of get a little bit boring. Toward the end, like, it starts out pretty cool, like, it's like, oh man, cool, bike chase through New York City, he's like, weaving the traffic and stuff, but like, then the third one, you're just like, okay, yep, we get it, yep, he's weaving into traffic, he's on a bike. They do a couple cool, things where, like, there's a couple times where, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt's, like, coming up to, like, an intersection, and it sort of, like, freezes, and, like, it shows him, like, trying to figure out which direction to go, and then it shows, like, what would happen if he goes in that direction. So it's like, well, if I go this way, I'll probably get hit by that cab. And it shows him, like, getting hit by the cab, then it comes to, like, well, if I go this way, I'll probably hit that stroller that they're pushing and kill that baby. So I'll probably go this way and then dodge through these cars, and I'll make it through. So he kind of has, like, biker sense or something.
Kind of like in Next, where Nicolas Cage can, like, He can relive. He does the Groundhog's Day method of reliving things.
Actually, can I remind you a lot of like Limitless? Did you see Limitless, Chris?
Nope.
Bradley Cooper, where he's like taking the pill and make him smarter.
I heard of it, but I didn't watch it.
Because like Premium Rush kind of has the same, like, it's like this like super kinetic, like visual, like there's like visual stuff going on all the time with like maps, zooming in on maps and zooming out on maps and like showing arrows pointing places where he's gonna go and like free, like slow motions and so that stuff. Michael Shannon is pretty awesome in the movie. He's like devouring scenery. It's like this like super like Italian corrupt cop who he has these like giant debts to like Chinatown, like the Chinatown mafia, like paying Pai Gao. So he has to like pay off his Pai Gao debts.
That's why?
Yep.
It's because of Campbell. Oh my god.
He just goes to this fucking like Pai Gao house and like loses every day. So like, well, yeah, you kind of owe us like $17,000, so playing Pai Gao, so you probably should pay us off. And then there's this whole thing with like the girl who sets up the delivery. There's like this whole plot of like her, like what the thing is that she's trying to get delivered, and that's what like. So actually, spoilers, because I probably want her to explain this, but she basically what she wants to deliver is like this receipt, which I guess it's like how like the Chinese like Yakuza, like the triad works or something, but she raises like, I don't know, like $50,000 or something, and then she pays it to these gangsters, and then they give her like this ticket, and so the ticket goes to like this lady called Snakehead, who is gonna like smuggle her son into America, or, like make sure like it'll buy her son's passage to America. So, but the ticket's like basically worth like $50,000 whoever holds it. So that's why everyone's after it.
Huh, so it's not even like real money. It's like
it's a movie ticket with a smiley face on it, but it's worth like $50,000 to whoever get it.
I guess that could work, but like, thank God they don't show you what they're premium rushing. They're just kind of like premium rush. It's a movie about bikes.
Oh man, yeah, and there's so much bikes in this movie. It was like, and it's actually kind of cool, because like, they actually filmed it in New York City, so they're, like, racing to, like, Central Park, and you see them, like, going to, like, Times Square and stuff, so that's pretty cool to see, like, crazy bike action in New York City. It definitely makes it, like, seem like bike messenger is, like, the most dangerous job, and it's like, forget, like, Deadliest Catch, like, bike messenger is, like, the most dangerous job. It's even more dangerous for Joseph Gordon-Levitt because he doesn't have brakes or no brakes, no gears on his bike.
Like, yeah, he did like a big speech in the trailer about it, and it's like, wow, you were reckless and kind of an asshole.
Yeah, he's kind of an asshole through the entire movie. Oh, and also, it's kind of weird, like. It has, like, in the beginning, it has, like, this weird, like, Goodfellas moment, because it's, like, it takes, like, it's, like, from, like, further into the movie, then Bobo O'Reilly is playing. You know, the Who song, Teenage Wasteland?
Yeah.
So that's playing, and then it's, like, just sort of, like, flying through the air after getting hit by a taxi cab, which, is, like, takes place, it's, like, maybe, like, 45 minutes into the movie. So it's, like, this weird, like, Goodfellas, like, how do we get into this mess?
Oh, actually, they do, mid-res kind of moment.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But
well, obviously he lives at some. He lives in the end to do his delivery.
Maybe, Chris. I don't know.
Maybe.
You have to go see the movie.
No, I have to go. I got premium rush.
I would not recommend seeing it in theater. Like, you probably wait till DVD or Blu-ray to see it. It's solid, but it's not like you don't have to rush out and see it. I'd probably give it a 3.5, if using our scale. 3.5 out of 5.
Well, somewhere, like, consider that, like, I watched three Two Bits and Peppers, yeah. So.
Yeah, I'd say somewhere, like, I'm fluctuating between a 3 or 3.5 for Premium Rush. Of course, it's, like, a little late to write a review, but if it was for a review, it'd probably be a 3 or 3.5. So yeah, so I was watching over the last week or so. I mean, also Black Dynamite was on Sunday night on Adult Swim, so cut the last little bit of that.
Yeah, but we've seen that movie as shit, so yeah. We know it's good.
Well, I was telling, we were talking about it before, I think we were talking about it before the episode started, but they also showed the unaired pilot of Black Dynamite, which was like, they showed it like last year on AdultSwim.com, they showed it. So they finally put it on Adult Swim TV. Yeah, so anyway, so pressure wrap this thing up for the week. Is there anything else you can think about that we need to talk about, Chris?
No, I think I'm pretty good.
All right. So, if you want more from us, you go to www.everythingaction.com for news, reviews, videos, trailers. We're actually on a site up this week, we put up our September movie preview. So, if you want to find out what's coming up this month for movies, you can go check that article out. Not too much till the end of this end of the month, actually. We're definitely in the doldrums of post-summer for the first couple weeks of September. It's like cold light of day and the words this weekend.
Yeah, I have not seen anything about those movies.
Well, Cold Light of Day is the Henry Cavill, Bruce Willis, like Bruce Willis is kidnapped, and he's like, but it turns out he's a CIA agent. It's basically like Abducted, but like more, like if it was like, not a teenager, but like a 20-year-old guy. And Sigourney Weaver's in it as well, so it's even more like Abducted. Because, like, your dad was a CIA agent. You never knew it.
Surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, but like, end of the month, we have, like, Dread and Looper coming out. So some good stuff coming out later this month, hopefully. So that's up on the site, along with all our other regular features. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action. You can see a bunch of news stories we find from around the web. We put them on the Facebook page. Any funny videos or action-related videos or pictures or what have you, we put them on the Facebook page. So you can like us on there and then follow along Everything Action on Facebook. We're on Twitter, twitter.com/EVAction. You can follow us on Twitter. We retweet a bunch of news stories from Twitter. You can see stuff from the site as it goes up on the Twitter feed as well. Sometimes we live blog movies if one of us happens to be in front of a computer near Twitter while we're watching a movie. And then also just random witty commentary or whatever from Joe or I or possibly Chris. I don't know, Chris, do you ever get on the Twitter account?
No, not really. Okay. I'll let Joe do most of it when we're together.
It's mostly Joe. I usually handle Facebook, Joe handles Twitter. That's how this thing works. But yeah, so a bunch of stuff on the Twitter feed, stuff you follow us on Twitter, EV Action. On iTunes, if you go to the iTunes Music Store, search for Everything Action, you can subscribe to the podcast center. And if you subscribe on iTunes to the podcast, you get the weekly podcast. You also get our commentaries when we put them out, usually one every month. And also our review cast for whenever a big movie comes out. I mean, it can't be contained by the regular podcast, so we do a special podcast just about that movie. And also on the iTunes Store, you can get our app for your iPhone or iPod Touch. It's free. Gives you the last 20 news stories from the site. You can also listen to the podcast on there as well. And you can also listen to the podcast on Stitcher.com. Search for Everything Action on there. And you can stream us on there or download us or listen to us on your iPod or Android phone or whatever else you can download apps on. Just pretty much the Stitcher app for it. Or it's on Stitcher.com on the website itself. You can listen to us as well. And you can email us at contact@everythingaction.com. So for Chris and Joe, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.